Welcome, everyone, to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray.
That is Bud Dickman.
Yeah, I'm General Kevin Shaw.
I'm Robert Leonard. Now, the man that makes it all happen in my life and yours, Phil Henry.
Thank you very much, Robert.
You guys are a rare admission of, you know, I thought I'd lay it out there. Can I ask a question at this juncture? What is this garbage?
It's called Just Breathe by Apache Tomcat.
This Apache Tomcat you guys like, huh?
Yeah, I do. What was the problem?
Well, they're screaming like they're...
Some of the songs you play, Phil... I'm sorry, my throat... Could I get a small amount of lemon juice, some tangerine juice, please, Bud, and strain it with the smaller strainer?
What?
I said...
Margaret...
No, hold on, Phil. I said, get me the tangerine juice, strain it with the smaller...
Strainer!
Excuse me.
Damn, Margaret.
Well, this is not the first time I've asked him.
What's wrong with your throat? Because you are... Speaking of straining...
I don't know. It's obviously it's dry.
Well, you ought to make sure that it's not dry when we begin the show.
You're telling me.
Yes, I am telling you, as a matter of fact, because you've told me many times, back when I had that problem.
Yeah, that's right, John. You had the problem. You were, like, squeaking it out.
Remember that when your voice used to crack?
Yes, I remember. And I solved the problem. I hydrate properly 2 hours before broadcast, then again 1 hour afterwards. I get up, I sip a thin layer of lemon juice. No, never mind.
Here it is right here, Miss Gray.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Very feminine.
Well, you know something, my friend? You beat it.
No, I can't beat that.
All right, are we all done, you know, kind of playing, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, man, playing urinal football here?
What does that mean, urinal football?
My God, I haven't played that in years.
You never played, well, Margaret, you wouldn't. Urinal football.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Wait a minute, what, are you serious?
Yeah, urinal football. Used to be back in the days when you could smoke in the bathrooms and smoke everywhere, and you'd be peeing into the urinal, and you'd see a cigarette butt, and you, with your urine stream, you'd try to push it down the urinal, and maybe there'd be another guy who'd try to push it back.
Oh, my God, is that gay.
Now, watch it. Just hold on for a minute.
What is that supposed to mean?
You know exactly what it means.
That is great. That's very homophobia.
Why would you say that it's gay?
You're playing with each other's...
What do you think? We're playing with each other's wieners?
Oh, so you did it, too.
I don't think it's gay. It's stupid, but...
Two men just going, woo, I don't know.
Okay, so what if it was?
Yeah, what if it was, Margaret? You all have said against it?
No, now, don't you go there. You know I'm not. I'm saying it's immature.
Yeah, you specifically call it gay.
You did. You did, and there's no getting around it.
No. I'm not playing this. You okie dokes, no way. You know what I meant. All right, I'm sorry.
Yay.
She apologized.
I didn't mean to say gay.
Yeah. You know, I always tell us don't ever use that.
I know. Yes, Robert, you can talk to me.
Well, you are.
You always tell us don't ever say things are gay because it's...
Don't say things are gay as being negative. Yes, because that is something that is a holdover from the glory years of homophobia in America. Now, Margaret, you just did that.
And I apologize. I was taken aback, as any woman in the audience would be, by the idea of urinal football. Oh...
But, Margaret, oh,
what's the story, man?
What are you clowns doing?
It's, I don't know, I personally, I never played it.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, come on, Phil.
I didn't, I just heard about it. You know, there's a cigarette butt in the urinal, and you push it along with your piss, and,
All right, I've heard enough.
Damn, it is true, though. Yeah, I don't know if they ever kept score.
They didn't?
No, but,
Oh, well, there's a league or something? Are you guys lying? Because if you're lying to me, you better be lying to me, because if you're telling me the truth... No, I hope you're lying to me.
So I don't think there was a league, and no, I don't think that anybody kept score. And anyway, that was urinal football. And welcome to the show here as we burn up 5 precious minutes talking about urinal football here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. All right, now on the show tonight, we have, or today, or this afternoon, or this morning, or yesterday. If you're listening to this yesterday...
Phil, don't be so impressed with how much your mind has dried up, all right?
Yeah, Phil, don't, because you're losing your mind, don't be impressed with that.
Yeah, what is it with you two, anyway?
I'm just kind of following along in her logic, that's all.
I'm angry with you pointing out that I said something was gay, and then you made me apologize.
Yeah, made you apologize.
Yes.
Why are you angry with that?
No one likes to be made to look like a monkey!
Hey, Margaret, you butch out one more time.
Yeah, and what?
Well, what's the story with that?
I don't know. I'm just kidding.
You know, Margaret, I think you need a vacation. You know what? That's exactly a good... You need a vacation.
What are you chowderheads talking about now?
Yeah, it seems like you need a vacation, Miss Gray. You just butched up twice.
You're going butch. You're using words like gay in the negative sense. I mean, you're all messed up.
I take great exception.
Margaret, you should take the next... With your permission, Phil. Go ahead. Take the next week off.
You clown...
No, he's right. Take the next week off. You are hereby ordered to take the next week off.
All right, you know what? I will. Good luck getting me back.
Well, that's your choice.
My choice?
That's your choice.
Call Frank, please.
Yeah, okay.
What is he calling Frank for?
So I get a ride home.
Yeah, Miss Gray? Yeah. Yeah, Margaret needs a ride home. Mr. Henry told her to take a mandatory... Told her to take a mandatory vacation. Uh-huh. Yeah. 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 Here, he wants to talk to you.
Hi, Frank. You're not on the air or anything. I asked her to take a week off because she's flipping out over here, man. She's using all kinds of gay this and stuff. She's just being very negative. I think she needs the time off. Okay.
Yeah. 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 That was Mr. Henry. Me? Sometimes I dress as little Bo Peep and I...
Give me the phone, will you? Thanks a lot, Frank. Yeah, see you later. What is it with you anyway, man?
I get all these questions, man. You're getting a lot of weird questions from some weird people, man.
We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with... we got Bobby Dooley today. She's going to be talking... about this feud that ongoing, maybe it's not so much a feud. There's a lot of heavy critique coming at Bobby from Jillian Moss, who's one of our BSPs. Jillian is our BSP in New Zealand. She is our BSP in Kiwiland. You know how they say our man in Havana?
Yeah. What about it?
Jesus, what a dick, man.
Yeah, what's your problem, man?
I don't know. I just all of a sudden got a bad mood. Tell Margaret to come back, will you?
What?
What are you talking about, Mr. Knight?
Tell her to come.
Because that's what you're pissed off about.
Well, I feel guilty.
Yeah, Ms. Gray, Mr. Henry would like to have you back.
Fuck it.
Mr. Henry.
What?
Come on, Margaret, come on back.
Well, all right.
Yeah, did you miss me? Aren't you leaving town? All right, God damn it. I was going to promote what Bobby Dooley's talking about, all kinds of stuff.
Well, go ahead.
No. We're leaving town. We'll be out of town the week of the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. That week, there will be no BSP chat, and there will be no Saturday Cinema. So the week of the 16th, 15th, 16th, 17th, God damn it.
16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th.
Yes. We will be originating, we hope to be originating the show from our location, which will be a secret right now. I'm not going to tell anybody where we're going to be, but we are going to be out of town. So I was figuring that would be a good week, Margaret, for you to take a vacation.
Not if you're originating. Are you going to be originating it live yourself?
I may be. I don't know. Okay.
Well, then, am I going? Is the crew going?
If I'm originating it from where it's going to be originating, oh, man.
See, that's what you get for opening your mouth.
To be determined, okay?
Fine.
Anyway, coming up, Bobby Dooley, who Jillian Moss is one of our BSPs in Kiwiland, New Zealand, and there's a hassle. And meanwhile, Bobby is in the midst of a wine and cheese mixer, right, bud?
Yeah, there's a problem. They're having the post-winter-tacular wine and cheese, you know?
God, man, slow down.
What do you mean, wine and cheese?
What's your problem?
I'm just nervous about everything.
It's okay, bud. Take it easy.
It's all right, son. Now, what's going on?
It's Bobby Dooley at a wine and cheese.
Bobby Dooley at a wine and cheese.
Mixer, I mean.
That's not what she's going to talk about, though.
No, she's going to talk about Jillian and that.
Yeah, we'll be right back, folks. Thanks so much, Bud, for nothing.
You're welcome.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show, brought to you by
Dr. Wynn Fenton's Ear Transport. We'll take your ears and move them, literally transport them up 2 inches or down 3. And if you'd like those ears to kind of flap out a bit, maybe you want them pinned back. Maybe, just maybe, you want them with those Spock points on the end. Or maybe you call them Elvin. We specialize in all of them. Dr. Wynn Benton,
Ear Transport,
1520 East Callaghan Street, Beverly Hills, California. Yeah, there you go, Beverly Hills.
The home of plastic surgery.
Dr. Wynn Fenton. I'm Dr. Wynn Fenton. One day I looked in the mirror and I went, but it was kind of scary. And I said, hey, wait a minute, I'm a plastic surgeon. So right there, I worked on my own face, and I noticed that I could make my nose move here or there. I decided to glide my ears back in my head, fan them out just a tad, raise the hairline, make my nose more pointed. I looked exactly like Count Chocula.
Hey. Dr. Win Fenton, plastic surgery.
Call Dr. Win Fenton, he's the guy you need. Call Dr. Win Fenton, plastic indeed.
Your face is really scaring them, you'll know now. He can make it happy and you'll be proud. Dr. Win
Fenton,
plastic surgery. Call the man with the Vulcan ears at 222-222-222-222-222-222.
Yeah.
Rock it,
all right, baby. That's right, baby. And your band there. That's Apache Tomcat, isn't it? All right, I'm getting used to them now. And this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and this is, of course, I am General Galen Shaw. We have with us Phil Henry. Bobby Dooley is joining us on the Newsmaker line now. Ms. Dooley is at the Wine and Cheese Mixer. Is that it, Bobby?
Oh, hi, General. Yes, we're at a Wine and Cheese.
That's the Wine and Cheese Mixer.
This is what's important for me to...
And tell, if you wouldn't mind, I know we've told you this before, get your husband to ask Steve to back off the phone. I got it, Phil. Ask Steve to back off.
Steve, they're asking you yet again, you know.
That's the Wine and Cheese.
I know it's Wine and Cheese.
So, Bobby, the Wine and Cheese Mixer, that's great, but we wanted to talk to you here about this dispute with Jillian in New Zealand.
Well, it all started late last night, about 9:45. I was going over my Facebook posts and commentaries, and I always love to do that before I go to bed. And, you know, Steve, we have...
gotta have our little, you know, bedtime snack.
We have a bedtime snack of some Monterey Jack cheese and, you know, a glass of milk or something, and just good big chunks of it. Now, because we're having the Wine and Cheese Mixer, there goes the Dudleys. Hold on for a minute, Phil.
Hey, where are you going? Getting out of here. No, sit down.
Tell them to sit down.
Sit down. Bobby would like you to sit down.
What are you doing, Bobby? Are you forcing people back to their seats?
I'm not forcing people back to their seats. What I'm doing is I'm essentially saying to them, there goes another. Hi, Karen, it's the Wine and Cheese Mixer. No, sit down. Sit down.
You heard my wife. She said to sit down.
Bobby, that does not sound very friendly. No, it doesn't. What are you doing?
Who's this?
It's Margaret.
Your voice sounds terrible. Okay.
I know that. I'm struggling with a little horse with a sore throat, all right?
You're struggling with a little horse. Nee. Did you hear that, Steve?
Yeah, that was...
Laugh. Do it better. Now go get them.
Hey, you, sit down. It's Wine and Cheese.
All right, Bobby, get your kicks and your jollies. I'm wondering what you're doing forcing people back to their chairs when they want to leave.
I'm called a homeowner's... I'm a homeowner's association president. You heard about that, didn't you?
Yes, about 9 million times.
Really? Well, if you've heard it 9 million times, then why don't you fucking get it? You look...
All right, stop right everything. Phil, no, everybody stop right now. Keep her on the line, bud.
Yeah, Ms. Dooley, you can't go. No, you can't.
What's with this butch shit that's going on, okay? How dare... What? No, 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 no. No, 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 no. How dare you? What's with the butch stuff going on? I heard you go into the basso profundo. I just heard her now go do the whole voice of the devil. What's the story?
I don't know, Phil. It's just some freedom that you've given us.
Seems like that's what it, you know, what it is, Phil. You're allowing them to express that new level of anger.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody on the show is angry, and you're giving the women the option to go, like, demo butch.
Yeah, so we're calling it demo butch or demo butch.
Right. Oh, is that what you're calling it, huh? Why aren't you saying anything?
I'm listening to the men have their way with me. I'm just listening to you guys decide my future for me.
I'm not going to fire you. I just want to know what's going on.
Just what they said. You've given me the freedom, Phil, through your producing and writing and mutating of the character, the opportunity to go
butch. All right, well, I'm telling you to stop doing it.
Oh, does she have to?
I don't know about Bobby. I'm telling you, don't do it anymore.
What a jip.
Yeah, it is a jip. Yeah. Bunch of, oh, are you going to bawl now like you're four?
Just a bunch of,
I just, what did I hear you say?
A bunch of bullshit is what it is.
Trying to get her back.
Get Bobby back on. Okay. All right. So, Bobby, here is what I want to tell you. I don't want any more of that butch stuff, okay?
What Margaret said is true. You give us the freedom to do it.
I understand. Well, I'm taking it back, okay? Listening to you with the whole, yeah, it's just...
I like it. Steve, what do you think?
I think it's kind of sexy, but it also makes me feel like
emasculated?
Yeah, I was going to say that. I couldn't quite... I don't know that word. What does that mean?
It means you're emasculated.
Okay. But
that's fine, Steve. So, all right, let's get back to where we were. No more basso profundo, no butch, no nothing, okay? So, Bobby, Steve, how are you?
What?
Did you say how high are we? Or?
No, how are you?
Well, no, we're fine, Phil. We're here, and...
We want to know a little bit about the whole feud with Jillian.
Okay. Jillian is a BSP on the BSP page, okay? And
yeah, she's one of my subscribers. She's one of our family members here, the BSP family.
Okay, that's a nice way of putting it. But basically, she subscribes to your page, right?
Yes, she subscribes.
What's that?
She subscribes. She doesn't subscribe.
Oh, okay. She subscribed. So she was on the BSP page the other day on Facebook saying that Bobby Dooley is a slut, that I suffer from probably neurodementia from neurosyphilis. I tag everything in a pair of pants.
Yeah, I mean, it
wasn't that bad, but I mean, it was...
Did she say that? You tag everything in a pair of pants and you have neurosyphilis?
Yes, she did, but I mean, that was okay, but what I'm worried about is it's really going to get bad. And
God, how much more worse can it get?
What are you talking about? Is it really going to get bad? Bobby, are you listening to yourself? She says you've got neurosyphilis.
Wait a minute, please. So I said to her, well, I didn't say anything to her, but I said to Phil, and I also said to Jeff Baker, and I also said to Rory McLeod, and a couple of other ones. I said to Martine, do you know where New Zealand is?
And you said what?
I asked them, do you know where New Zealand is? They all said, yeah, we know. I said, well, no, you don't, because it's a part of Australia. And they go, huh, what? So I said, I try and find it on a map. And I had one of those maps that they published that don't have New Zealand on it.
Right, and those are published in error.
I know that, but the fact is I had it there in front of me, and I was going to show them that. And I said to whoever it was, I said, look, New Zealand's not on a map. Oh, you know, it doesn't make any difference.
My wife's bored of the topic.
Well, she better get unbored, because I wanted to finish it. Wait, you said that New Zealand is not on a map.
I said, what do you mean by that, Mr. Henry?
Exactly what I said.
I said New Zealand is not on a map.
You're making my wife cry.
I know, it sounds like I'm making you cry.
Yeah, you make me crying too.
Steve, I'll do it. New Zealand is not on a map, technically. So, people say it doesn't exist. No, it does exist. It's a province of Australia. And Australia... I said it better the other day. I can't remember how I said it.
Well, however you said it, it got Jillian mad at you?
No, she was already ripping on me, talking about me being a pig and a cow.
No, she was not. She was talking about some of the things you've said on the air, and she was obviously extremely upset with them, and she was observing how angry she was. Yes, she got a bit vituperative.
A bit vituperative? You know, every time somebody calls me a name, you guys have got a million excuses for them. But every time somebody calls me a name, you guys got a million excuses for them, you know?
Yeah. So what about that?
Every time someone calls you a name, we got a million excuses.
No. Every time I call someone a name, you got a million excuses. But every time I call someone a name...
Wait a minute. Every time someone calls you a name, we all have a million excuses for that person, right?
Yeah, okay.
Well, I'm trying to get this thing figured out. And then every time, wait a minute, Margaret, I'll do it. Every time you call someone a name, never mind, I don't know. The point here, Bobby, is that you feel put upon and you feel as if Phil's not fair and that Jillian was also unfair. And so what do you want to do about it?
What do I want to do about it? Is that it?
That's my question, yeah.
Well, I mean, is that a challenge to a fight or something?
Yeah, is that a challenge?
No, it is not a challenge. I'm asking you, what would you like Phil to do?
I think it's important, Mr. Henry, to rein in some of the BSPs who want to treat me like I'm nothing more than piled pork, okay? I'm piled pork on a well-buttered bun, and it's got to end.
Yeah, my wife, that's a beautiful way. My wife is nothing more than pulled pork on a buttered-up bun, okay? And it's got to end.
It's got to end. And
let me guess, it's got to end?
God.
You know what, Margaret? If I'm piled pork on a buttered-up bun, you're just a buttered bun.
Yeah.
You know, Bobby, Phil thinks I need a vacation. I think you need a vacation.
Well, I know I don't. Because, wait a minute.
Where are you going? It's the wine and cheese. Yeah. No one tells me what to do.
Mr. Dalfick, you just struck my husband.
No one tells me what to do.
Where's your wife tonight?
I'm not married for the 15th time. And I don't eat that much cheese, and I don't drink that much wine. but I had it.
You just hit my husband.
You want us to call a cop?
Yes, Mr. 80, please do.
Don't do it, but...
Will you call the cops on me? Hey, you tell my wife...
All right, we won't call the cops.
Good thing Mr. Henry told me not to really call the cops.
What did you say?
Nothing. Mr. Dalwinkle, huh?
Yeah, Mr. Dalwinkle, you'll hear from my attorney.
Big deal.
Blow it out your ass. Did you hear that, Mr. Henry? You see, these people feel free. Are you all right, Steve?
Yeah.
Bobby, I certainly don't condone anybody being struck.
Well, were you going to call the cops or not?
No, we didn't call the cops. Of course we didn't call the cops.
Why not?
I don't know whether you're screwing around or... Are you messing around?
What do you mean? Are you all right, Steve?
Yeah, I'm fine. Oh, right. What do you think? I know Dalwinkle. I told him to hit me.
Something like that, yeah. Is that what happened? Is that what happened, Bobby?
No. I mean, Dalwinkle... Here he comes again. Yeah? You got a problem?
Yeah, I got a problem. You promised me $20.
We're still on the air, you fuck...
I'm sorry.
That's what I thought. All bullshit. All bullshit all the time. Bobby Dooley.
Bobby Dooley. 93KHJ. Bullshit.
I hope you die under the wheels of a street sweeper. Bob Doo.
Yeah, I agree. Stidoo.
Stidoo?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Now, what just happened there? Apparently, she agreed to pay that guy, whatever it was. And then I don't know what else happened. And then you said something, bud, that don't tell me what it was. I don't want to know. And throughout all of that, we had you guys go in basso profundo. And we had Mr. Dalwinkle, who isn't real. And the whole thing is one big
cluster bang.
93KHJ, cluster bang.
But I love you, man. You know what, Phil? Of all the guys who need a vacation, you're the guy. Well, guess what? I ain't taking one.
Phil, you're not feverish, are you? You're not coronavirus feverish.
No, I'm not. Not yet. Which, by the way, that is a rap we did during the... Now, that was a very interesting thing you did in the pre-show about the H1N1.
Oh, Jesus, man. You're going to go through that, are you?
I think I might. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here on the Phil Hendry Show website, Spotify, Podcast One, iTunes, all kind of thing. Are you trying to pay off your student loan? Come to Wes Wesson's Finance. We can give you the money you need to get out from under. $5, $10, even $15. You heard me right. 15 whole dollars will get you well on your way to paying off your student loan. And if you have a home, a car, maybe even a business, we can get you as much as $35 right now. We'll agree to it on the phone. Wes Wesson Finance at 6115 Birdley. And we're online too. So visit us at Wes Wesson Finance. Up to 5, 10, 15, even 20 or 25, even $30. You could call and say, I need $30. We'll give it to you right then and there. Yeah, Wes Wesson Finance. Because Rome wasn't built in a day. It was built in 2 days. Yeah.
And welcome back to World Famous Phil. I asked Phil if I could do the announcing here of this second segment just because my...
Your voice is loosened up a little bit.
Yes, my throat's loosened up a little bit. We do have with us here on our newsmaker line now, Steve Bozell. We've been looking forward to talking with you, Steve, about the events here of this past week. Not just the coronavirus, but also, Steve, you were talking to us about this attack, not really an attack, but the storming of the stage by individuals who were with that, what was it, Phil?
Like a dairy group?
Yeah, it was a dairy organization of some kind, and
it was Let Dairy Die.
Yeah, let's say Let Dairy Die. And I had said, and I was very concerned about that, that the Let Dairy Die crowd, they come up, and there's Joe Biden, and there's his wife, Lynn Biden, or I forget her name.
I think it's Lynn, yeah.
Yeah. And then comes Simone Sanders, then comes another lady. I forget her name, but let's say her name was Betty Slauson. And then another lady, but I forget her name, but we'll call her Susan Gugugana. And
what is with these names? Can't we get the right names, bud?
Yeah, I can look them up for you.
All right, but there were like four or five ladies from the Biden campaign who came storming onto the stage, and I looked at that. I went, wow, you know, I don't think I've ever seen that. Now Simone Sanders used to be the national nationally syndicated. No, she was the
national press secretary for Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, that's right, for Bernie Sanders. Now she's working for Biden, and she comes flying onto the stage and grabs this woman from the Let Dairy Die protest, you know, vegan. You're vegan, Mr. Henry. Do you have no sympathies with them?
I don't even know who they are, man. And no, I'm not sympathetic to them. I don't. You know what, man? Those people who one would imagine are aligning themselves with progressives by storming the stage of a candidate, I suspect those people are freaking Republican plants. Oh, you're kidding me, Henry. Well, why would they do that? Why don't you storm the stage at a freaking Trump rally? How about that? I'll tell you why. Because Trump's people would put a bullet in the...
Yeah. Well, you got that right. That's one thing. That's the thing about President Trump, what I admire so very much. You storm his stage, and he will pump you full of lead. You will...
Oh, yeah, sure. That's what he's going to shoot people.
Well, he's not going to let that happen. No way. And Mr. President himself, if a woman who says, let dairy die, she goes on a stage, Trump himself would kick... Man, he would beat her. Oh, God.
So what's the story here, Steve? It sounds to me like you've got another problem with strong women.
No, ma'am, I do not.
Well, what is it, Steve?
Why are you guys assuming that?
Because that's exactly what you told... Did he tell you that, bud?
Yeah, you said it was... It scared you. It scared you very much.
It scared me, because if you could well imagine seeing just one, two, three, four women just, hey, coming at you. Oh.
And it was frightening.
Yeah. First you had the lady go, yeah, let dairy die. Suppose you were Biden, and all of a sudden you turn, your wife is like duking it out, okay, throwing hands that you yourself would not never have thrown. Okay.
I'm not going to start punching a woman. No, you're right. It probably wouldn't be my instinct.
No, I'm not talking about that. I mean, would you just even raise your hands if it was a dude, you know?
I don't know, Steve. Maybe I would not. Maybe if I had, I think he had bodyguards there.
Well, here's the thing. Joe Biden does not have Secret Service protection.
What are you talking about?
That's what I read, that he has security guards.
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Henry. I don't know why. Yeah, that's one that's a little bit of a mystery. All right, so he turns around, though. Right.
Yeah, and he saw his security guard, and he's like, wait a minute, and he sees his wife, she's, you know, doing that, and then here comes Simone Sanders, coming on.
What is it, scary or something, Bozell?
I don't think there's a man listening to me right now who hasn't got a lump, man, I almost said my pants, has a lump.
Would you please watch it?
Well, no, I'm saying, there isn't a man watching now who hasn't got a lump in his...
In his pants.
He's not saying that, what are you saying?
In his throat, man, in his throat. When you see five women coming at you like that... And you've done no wrong. You've done no wrong.
Wait a minute, man.
No, you have done no... And five women are coming in. Now, I'm not talking about the woman who had the lit dairy. I'm talking about Joe Biden. And for a split second, Biden sees Simone Sanders. He sees Betty Clunen or whoever. I forget their names.
Give me the names of those women, bud, before I flip my lid.
All right, man. God damn, dude. They're not seeing. All they're seeing is it's a...
They're just talking about Simone Sanders and Jill Biden, but there were like two other gals there.
And they were talking to each other. Whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, they were talking to each other on Twittergram or
Instagram.
Yeah, on Instagram and
well, no, man, like on Twitter too.
Yeah, on Twitter. But the point I'm making here, Phil, is I understand that Jill Biden is her name. You called her Lynn Biden.
I did. I misspoke. I'm sorry.
Yeah, except because I was calling her Lynn Biden.
Because of me?
Oh, it felt like it. Yeah.
Well, you might get your stuff straight.
Okay, but what about you?
What about you? Just tell me what else your philosophy is here so we can...
Oh, so you can get through this and get to the end of the show.
Steve, I'm telling you, man, I'll give you 5 seconds.
Okay, so what I'm trying to say is, there she was, Simone Sanders and Jill Biden, and I said to some of the guys at work, especially this the crew chief of mine, Cliff Pettigrew, I said, that gave me a little bit of a scare. If you see these five women just coming at you, and you don't know...
So it scared you.
You did, and I think any man would be seeing that just coming at you over and over and over again. And I sat down and wrote down my thoughts. I said, if I'm Joe Biden, and here comes one, here comes Simone Sanders, and here comes another one, this comes Jill Biden, and here comes another, and another, and another. And
that would be Betty Baboodley, or whatever the name is that you made up?
Yeah, okay. That it would be a moment where you'd have to catch your breath. That's all I'm trying to say. And that's what was, you know, shocking for me. I don't...
All right. Let's just say that it was one of those moments where, you know, the women were the heroes of the moment and they were defending a man.
And that's the part that I think is is what you call a masquerade. When Joe Biden's standing there, he's not doing anything. So I think that if you want to get elected president of the United States, and if that, I think if it was President Trump, he would he'd have no problem beating that woman up. You know?
Oh, I don't doubt that at all. I think President Trump would enjoy beating up a woman.
I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah, that's exactly what you just said.
No, that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that President Trump would not need no three women. And I think more and more and more, as Biden goes along in this process, he shows himself.
I got you. So, you know, Joe Biden found himself in a position a lot of guys would like to find themselves in occasionally, where they're not having to lift a finger. Their women are out there, you know, mixing it up with whoever the hell is coming at them. And he had his wife. I think his sister was there.
Yeah, but she didn't do anything. She just was standing there.
No, I think she actually did make a... I think somebody kept her out of the fray, to be honest with you. I think either one of the security people or it was a female Secret Service or something. Were there Secret Service there, or was it... You know, because I don't know.
I heard there was no... That Joe Biden doesn't have Secret Service. He has a security guard.
Well, be that as it may, there was Jill Biden, and then there was these other two people I think you mentioned from the campaign, Simone Sanders, so on and so forth. And so for once, you know, the guy didn't have to, you know, the man didn't have to do the heavy lifting when it came to defending himself.
What?
Well, what are you saying, Steve?
Just what I told you. And because I, you know, expressed that shock that you look up from what you're doing and here comes these women.
Well, they're not coming after Joe Biden.
No, they were not coming after Joe Biden because they were protecting him, but they wouldn't be me because I would be probably in favor of the things that President Trump likes.
Yeah, what would you be doing on that stage in the first place?
Well, that's a good question, you know. But
so your instinct was to maybe run.
Okay, yeah, I could run, but then I would have guys like Mr. Henry here the next day on his show going, ha-ha, you know, it'd just be a big morning. It'd be a morning zoo joke.
Steve Ozell with us here on the Phil Henry Show talking about whatever.
That's not whatever, sir.
Well, it certainly sounds that way. Steve's talking to us about this Joe Biden and Jill Biden moment where the women were defending him. All right. Now, Steve, here is you today on Twitter.
This is Steve Ozell, and I'm with B&B Construction. And the other day I said I was with CNC Construction, and I made the mistake of admitting that I said I was with CNC Construction because I had coronavirus on my mind, and I was thinking about, is the infection in me? No, I'm sure it's not. And then they said, aren't you worried about your wife and your kids? And I said, yeah. They reminded me of that. I hadn't been worried about them until then, because I was mostly worried about, do I have it inside me, and am I going to be able to work? And then I thought about my wife, then I thought about my kids, and I thought, yeah, okay, that's bad too. But you see, this has got everybody confused. That's why President Trump has been at the forefront. He feels only 1% of the people who get the coronavirus will die. That's what he feels. And he's the number one medical officer in America. As the president of the United States, yes, he is the number one doctor. He's officially a doctor. And I'm going to go with that.
All right, Steve, that was you today on Twitter. Do you still stand by your statement that he's the number one?
Are you kidding me or something, Bozell?
Hold on. He's the number one doctor in America?
What I said, and I thank you, Mr. Andrew, for giving me the opportunity to clarify what I said. He's the number one.
He's number one at what? He's the president?
He's the president, but also he's the number one member of the executive branch, and as such, he's the number one law enforcement officer, and yes, technically, he is the number one doctor. I mean...
So you think he's qualified...
Mr. Renner, I'm watching your video cast, and you just spit like tortilla chip everywhere.
Excuse me.
God damn.
Yeah, Mr. Renner, sir.
I mean...
Excuse me, but let's stick to the point here, okay?
All right.
He's the number one... Whatever. So you say he's a doctor. He is qualified to diagnose?
President Trump, look, we got this coronavirus, and it's... Everywhere you go, there's more people getting it, and more people are getting it. And President Trump has said he thinks it's less than 1% are dying, and yet the deep state says it's 3.4%.
Let's knock that deep state shit off, if you don't mind.
Oh, my God.
Come on, Bozell. Let's live on the planet Earth in the real world. And these are doctors that are saying 3.4%.
But all I'm saying is President Trump is technically...
He is not a doctor. Whether he's technically the number one doctor in the country is beside the point. He's not a doctor.
Now, hold, Steve, I want to ask you something.
But see, coronavirus is killing people, but the president says no, it isn't. And what's true?
I want to ask you something, okay? Listen to me. You remember when I had swine flu?
Yeah, Mr. Renner, I've heard you talking about...
Wait a minute. You remember when I had swine flu?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That year, H1N1, which was the swine flu, and I had it, and I went in the hospital because I got pneumonia from it, killed 80,000 people. That's a rough figure, but around 80,000 people.
Yep.
Okay. And there I was in the hospital with it. And you realize that while that was happening, even though swine flu was in the news, there was not some panic to the point where people weren't traveling, that people were not going to the store, that people were not, you know, that they were covering it every night of the news and counting it down and counting it up and all this stuff. You realize that there were more people that died from that disease, and this is more of a panic.
Well, I'd have to double-check your numbers.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did double-check it, Mr. Blossel. Okay. And
the name's Bozell. God.
Mr. Bozell. And Mr. Henry's right. It's around 50 to 100,000, maybe 80,000 in the middle of people that got killed from it.
You're saying, okay, so less people, so 80,000 people is a lot of people.
That's right.
And that's from what?
That's from the H1N1 that I had, man.
And you... Obviously, you didn't die.
No, I didn't die.
All right, so what's your point?
My point is, man, that there were more people dying from that crap, and I personally got it, okay, than what's happening right now, and everybody's in a panic, including you.
All I wanted to do is defer to the chief law enforcement,
The chief doctor in the country, which is Donald Trump. He's not a doctor.
He's not a doctor, but he's saying that maybe it's not so bad. He's saying maybe we got a chance. Maybe we can actually survive this thing. He's given us hope, for God's sake. Why won't you listen to him?
Oh, come on, Steve. Grow up, okay? Bozell, start growing up a little bit. You're not going to die from coronavirus.
Okay, and how do you know that?
Because, you know what, Steve? You're just that lucky, buddy. You're not going to die from coronavirus, all right? And I told you, I got swine flu.
Yeah, you got swine flu. Did you die? No, you didn't die.
No, I did not die, and 80,000 to 100,000 people died.
You don't make any sense at all, man.
No, the guy that doesn't make any sense is you. And if you're going to worry about coronavirus and who it's going to kill, and you're going to want the experts, and you're not going to want some guy who is not an expert, the guy that you say is the number one, what is he?
He's the number one law enforcement doctor.
There's not, what do you mean law enforcement doctor?
I mean, he's the number one doctor.
Even though he's not a doctor. Bozell, don't be so dumb, man. He's not a doctor.
But he's dead. Don't you understand, Mr. Henry?
Look, if President Trump can't go to somebody's house and say, I am now going to operate on you for appendicitis. He can't do that. Okay? So I don't know what law is... I don't know if he could be prosecuted. If Trump operated on somebody and killed them...
Yeah, you can't prosecute him. Okay? Because he's the President of the United States and he's the number one, you know, doctor.
Oh, bullshit.
No, there's something wrong with that. Steve, that is not right.
Okay, but I just told you, what are you going to get Trump for?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
What do you mean you don't know?
There's got to be something, Mr. Henry.
What law can you bust Trump on if he kills you while he's operating on you because he claims he's the number one doctor in the country?
Yeah, see? You can't. But no, but Mr. Trump's not going to do that because he's not stupid. Okay?
Well, if he's the number one doctor in the country, he ought to be able to do it, shouldn't he?
But he's not going to do it.
But what if he decides to do it?
He won't.
Oh, you know something, man. You know.
Yeah, see? Ha, 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 ha. Ow! I told you to get off the phone, didn't I? Sorry. My wife just stepped on my foot. I didn't touch you. Just a hot poker. A hot poker. I got some hot poker for you. It's right down here in my slacks.
Yeah!
She did it again. Don't talk dirty to me. Get off the phone. Yeah, go ahead and laugh, Mr. Andrews.
So that's the charming Mrs. Bozell, huh?
Yep.
And you said she's gorgeous.
She is. I've seen her. She's beautiful. Beautiful honey blonde hair, a little splash of freckles on her nose, green eyes, built like a...
Yeah, I'll bet.
I'm not kidding, man.
Built like a what? Never mind, I don't want to know.
Thanks very much, folks. So there's Steve Bozell, and he says that Trump is the number one doctor in the country because by law he is, and therefore he can hopperate.
The only guy that can hopperate's the Easter Bunny.
Wasn't that good, man? That was very good.
Not bad in a pinch.
Yeah.
Can you start the music?
Oh, sorry. Here. Am I in charge of that?
Yeah, you are.
And the world-famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.
Join us tonight at 7 o'clock for the BSP chat, and then tomorrow we have the Saturday Cinema. It's all here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com.
I'm Phil Henry, and a week from Monday, we're on the road, man. We will be broadcasting, podcasting, netcasting, casting about, casting hither and thither, from the road to a place we will announce in all due course. Thank you.
Yeah! Yeah!